Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the workers meeting today. And we're asking, Lord, that you visit everyone, our location here at the headquarters, and all over in Jesus' name. Give us understanding, inspiration, instruction. And as you give us instruction, the grace, the strength, the willingness to obey, you grant everyone in Jesus' name. And the blessing that follows obedience will follow every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much. Welcome to our workers' training today. Today we're coming to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, reading from verse 5. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithes of all, and the tithes of all brought they in abundantly. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, and concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithes of oxen and sheep, and the tithes of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. From those two verses, you have learned that the commandment came forth. And as the commandment came forth, the people of Israel, the people of Judah, the children of God, responded in obedience. And as they obeyed, heaps and heaps were seen among them. From there today, we're learning that we live in abundance through giving by faith. Living in abundance through giving by faith. We're going to have three subtitles. Number one, fruitfulness through tithes and offering. That if we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to be progressive, if we're going to be productive, we need to be obedient to the Lord. And we give our tithes and offering, and then we're going to be fruitful. Number two, faithfulness was the treasure of obedience. Already from where we have read in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, the people obeyed. They listened to the commandment of the Lord, and they responded obediently and immediately. And that faithfulness is a treasure in the sight of the Lord. When you obey the Lord, he gives a commandment, and then you obey. And then after you are born again, you keep on obeying the commandments of the Lord. That faithfulness is your treasure. And that treasure brings blessing, benefits, progress to your life. Number three, fullness of trustworthiness without omission. Not that we're saved, we choose, we select which word to obey, which word to accept, and which commandment to follow. He gives the commandment, and every commandment he gives, we come in obedience fully and completely unto the Lord, without omitting any item, any area of obedience to the Lord, trustworthiness, without omission. And it is when we have such an attitude that we so love God, reverence God, honor God, we respect the Lord and everything that comes out of his mouth. The honor we give him, the obedience we give him is complete. We're not subtracting from his word. We're not adding our opinions to his word. We're not limiting his word. We're not cutting off any part of his word. And we're trustworthy in the sight of the Lord that whatsoever he says in totality, in entirety, in completeness, without omission, we're trustworthily obey. The fullness of trustworthiness without omission. Welcome to number one. Number one is the fruitfulness through tithes and offering. I'm sure you have the understanding that the understanding that tithes and offering is not part of the law of Moses per se. And so when the law of Moses passed away, when the old covenant passed away, then giving of tithes and offering also passed away. No. Tithes and offering had begun back in Genesis, before the time of Moses, before the law of Moses, before the old covenant. And after the old covenant, the law of Moses passed away, the tithes and offering that was established, already known in the Old Testament, in Genesis, is still went on. That's why we're looking at three things. Number one, believers' conviction on tithes and offering. Believers' conviction on tithes and offering. Number two, beneficial command. It's a command the Lord has given for our benefit, for our progress, for our enjoyment, for our abundance. Beneficial command on tithes and offering. Number three, bountiful contribution beyond tithes and offering. Bountiful, plenty, abundant contribution beyond the tithes and the offering. Let's look at number one, believers' conviction on tithes and offering. Genesis chapter 14, we're reading from verse 18. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 19, and he blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abraham, the most of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Here, the priest of the Most High, Melchizedek, looked at God and looked at the name of God. He said, God is the Most High God, higher than you, higher than me, higher than everyone on earth, and is the possessor of heaven and earth. Everything you have, everything I have, everything on earth, everything everybody has, everything in heaven, God is the possessor. And so it was not a surprise, God being the possessor of heaven and earth, and Abraham realizing that the God he served and the God we serve is the possessor of all things. Look at his response to that in verse 20. In verse 20, we're told, and he blessed the Most High God, which has delivered his enemies into his hands, and he gave him tithes of all. If he is the possessor of heaven and earth, the least we can do, the minimum we can do, the very basic minimum is to give him a tenth of all. A tenth of your money, a tenth of your possession, a tenth of your time, A tenth of everything you have, a tenth of all, because after all, he merits more than a tenth. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. Look at chapter 28. In chapter 28, we're looking at verse 20. 28 verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Look at verse 21. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. I will belong to the Lord. He belongs to me. I'm a member of his family. There is a membership in the family of God. Before we give money, we give our heart. We give our person. We belong to God without any rival and without any competition. He is our God, and we are the people of God. In New Testament language, we're born again. We're born into the family of God. He is our God, and we're his people. This God shall be my God. He will be my only God. There's not going to be any idol, any other God, any strange God. No idol will sit on the throne of my heart. He will be my God. And then as a result of that, I belong to the family. He is my father. I'm his child. He is my father. I'm his daughter. And like even a human family, as our children grow up, if they're good children, as our children grow up, if they're grateful children, as our children grow up, as we have develop them, train them, and send them to school, and now they are out, and we've been taking care of them. They have a part of their income. They now give back to us. They take care of us. And as we belong to God, the God of heaven, the possessor of heaven and earth, and he takes us there, and he blesses our lives. Look at verse 22 there. In verse 22, and this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, of all that thou shalt give me, I will not allow my peers, I will not allow what other people think and what other people do, I will not allow that to affect me. Surely I will give the tenth unto thee. Tithe, tenth. The same thing, the tithes of all I have, the tithes of all I have, I will give unto thee. But look at this. This pillar shall be God's house. I will build a sanctuary. I will build a house for the worship of the Lord. I will not say, because I built a sanctuary for God, a house for God, I've already spent my tithe in giving that to you. He said, no, apart from building a house, a sanctuary, an habitation for the Lord, I will also give a tenth unto thee of all that thou hast given me. The conviction of believers before even the law of Moses came. Let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, reading from verse 3, here is the New Testament injunction now to their power and their record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were willing of themselves. Selfishness had been taken away from their heart. Self-centeredness had been taken away from their heart. And that stony heart, and that self-will, and that old nature, and that Adamic nature, and that depravity had been taken away from them of themselves now, without anybody pushing them and goading them and announcing to them and forcing them and reminding them every time, you have not paid your deal, you have not done this, you have not done that, we have been checking up. Look at this, it says, bear them record. Yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And then in verse 4, it tells us what they were willing to do. They were praying us and pleading with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In verse 5, it tells us, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord. They gave their heart to the Lord. They gave their mind to the Lord. They gave their skill, everything they had, unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The willingness, the conviction of believers that because I belong to God, I don't need to be pushed. I don't need to read so many verses of the scripture and people trying to persuade me of myself. Within themselves, they gave unto them. Look at number two here. Number two here is the beneficial command on tithes and offering. A command, yes, beneficial. A command, yes, profitable. A command, yes, a command that opens the door of plenty for everyone. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you. The children of Israel were not people to just scatter their tithes and offering everywhere. They hear of somebody there, they send an offering. They hear another one there, they send offering. The Lord said, a place which the Lord himself shall choose. And he says, there shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes. Your tithes. They were to bring their tithes to designated places. And were told very clearly in Malachi chapter 3. Look at chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10, Malachi, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Into the storehouse, where the Lord has stored blessings for us, where the word of God is coming to us, where the blessings of God are coming to us, and where the promises of God are being reeled out to us, where the goodness of God is revealed to us every time. It says, bring all the tithes, not part of the tithes, not some of the tithe, put some here, put another here, put another there, dividing the tithes into 3 parts, into 4 parts, into 5 parts. No, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, where Christ is honored, where prayers are preached unto God, where the word of God, the mind of God is revealed unto you. Basically, into the church that you attend, that you are a member of, that the Lord is blessing you regularly and without any limit. It says, that's where to bring your tithes, all the tithes, into mine house. And prove me now, herewith, says the Lord. Of course, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not be able, you have enough room to receive it. It's a beneficial commandment. He commands us that if we bring as we bring, then it will multiply his provision and his goodness in our lives. Look at verse 11. In verse 11 it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her a fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 12 it says, and all nations shall call you blessed, because you be, and because you bring, and because you give that tithe in the storehouse of the Lord, where he has commanded, he will so bless you and open the windows of heaven concerning you. And then it says, and you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 16, we're looking at verse 2. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, let every one of you, let every one of you, nobody shall come empty-handed in the sight of the Lord. Here is the beneficial command of the Lord. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him. As God has prospered him. That word "as" means in proportion. That the Lord has blessed you. It is that word "as" that introduces a percentage. 10% is our tithe. 1/10. 10/100. If you have 100 currency of your currency, 10% means 10 of that currency. And if you have 1,000, 10% means 100. The value, the amount will change, because it is in proportion as God has blessed you. That's why it says, anywhere you are, anywhere you're working, any country you belong to, upon the first day of the week, that is the Lord's day, that is Sunday, that's the day of worship in the New Testament and for the church today, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. You push it aside, you take it aside, you have that proportion, 10% or more, never less than 10%, 10% or more, as the new covenant is greater than the old covenant, as the new covenant is higher than the old covenant. So the obedience we have in the new covenant, the giving we make in the new covenant, and the offering we give in the new covenant is higher and greater than that of the old covenant. And then it says, you lay by in store, you preserve it, you reserve it. That one I am not to touch, that one I am not to eat, that one I'm not to spend. I lay by in store only for the Lord. You do that already during the week, and then as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The Lord grant us the spirit of obedience in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three now. Number three, bountiful contribution beyond tithes and offering. When we're real children of God, come again, come back to the family, the father, mother, and then the children, they have been well taken care of, they have been loved, and the father, the mother still lavishing love upon them, and they care for them. And even as they are growing older, whatever they could not do for themselves, father, mother, daddy, mommy, doing for the children, those children will be so much grateful to their parents, and they will not say, all right, this month, this year, I will give back to my parents, but this is the limit. If any emergency comes to daddy or mommy, I'm sorry about that one, because I cannot give more than this. Once it reaches the ceiling, all right, final. a good boy, a good girl, a good son, a good daughter will not do that to their parents, especially as the parents are getting older. And now we're dealing with Ancient of Days. We're dealing with the God of heaven. We're dealing with the Creator. We're dealing with our Redeemer. We're dealing with the one who is preparing heaven for us. We're dealing with one who is watching over us every time. We're not giving to a limit. I've given my tithes and offering. That's all. No more. No bountiful contribution with beyond the tithes and the offering. Look at Exodus chapter 36, and we're looking at it from verse 5. Exodus 36, reading from verse 5. And he spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more. Old Testament, the people bring much more. Old Covenant, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And so, as we come to the New Testament, and then we come to the end, almost the end of the New Testament, that is, the Lord is about to come. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the need of world evangelization, with all the billions of the world living, people living in the world now, the task is greater, the assignment is greater, and the time is short. And because of that, now we go beyond tithes and offering, and we're bountiful contribution beyond tithes and offering. And the people of Israel said, the leader said, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make, which the Lord commanded to make. They responded to the commandment of the Lord abundantly. They were available, and everything they had was available. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it tells us there, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people restrained from bringing. They were so eager to bring, and they were so faithful in bringing, they had to stop them. They had to stop them. Today, if we're going to have workers like that, we need workers this area, workers this area, workers this area, and then people offer themselves. We say, now it's enough. Next time, we'll call upon you again. Or we need money. Money for something, for the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission. And people are bringing and bringing and bringing. And we say, it's enough now. We'll tell you when to bring again, or it is any kind of service we want to render to the Lord. We need carpenters there, we need builders there, we need electronic workers there, we need this there, we need this there. And people come from all over. And then we have surplus, we say, okay, we'll put the list down. And when we need more of you, we'll call you again. That is the way the work of God should be done. The work should not overwhelm a few people, a few reps, a few state overseers, a few region overseers, a few technical people, a few men, a few women, a few young people. We should so come and address the work of God and be involved in the work of God. And we say, we even have more than enough now. We need missionaries, we need this, we need that. We have more than enough. That's the way the work of God should be done. And I pray the Lord himself will help us, will do it in that way, in Jesus' name. Your amen will not grow cold. And your offering will not go old, in Jesus' name. You know, there are people 10 years ago, they will willingly offer, and they will eagerly offer, they will earnestly offer themselves. But now, the blood in their system is growing cold, the love is growing cold, and the excitement of serving the Lord is growing cold, that they cannot run, they cannot rush, and they cannot give themselves. And we say we have more than enough. We don't have enough now, but I pray the Spirit of God will so walk on every life that we'll have more than enough. Every section will have more than enough. Money will have more than enough. Energy will have more than enough. Skill will have more than enough. Volunteers in every area of the world will have more than enough in Jesus' name. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. In Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing unto God. Paul the Apostle, New Testament, the people responded with a New Testament attitude, a New Covenant attitude, a New Covenant devotion, a New Covenant demonstration of consecration. And Paul the Apostle said, I have all. Everything I need to take care personal, I have all. Everything I need to push me on and move me on in the work of the Lord, I have all. All the encouragement I need, all the support I need, and all the people I need to lift the load here and lift the load here, I have all and abound. I am full. I pray our God will come to that level. I said our God will come to that level. When you give your tithes and offering and go beyond, when you give your tithes and offering and go beyond, when you give your tithes and offering and go beyond, and then we can say, praise the Lord for this global outreach. We have all, we have enough. Praise the Lord for this assignment that the Lord has given to the church. We have all and we have enough. That's when everybody, without exception, when everybody is faithful, faithful in giving, faithful in praying, faithful in support, faithful in running, faithful in walking, faithful in being available at all times, and we give bountifully, contribute bountifully beyond the tithes and the offering. Look at verse 19. As a result of that, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Before the amen to verse 19 can be effective, verse 18 has to be wonderfully obeyed. We have to send in all our tithes, all our offering, and spend bountifully and go beyond that. And now there's plenty, and we say the church has all, we have enough, and the work of God is up and running. It's only after that, after we've given without any limitation or restriction, only after that, now my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by God Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. We're coming to number two now. Number two, faithfulness with the treasure of obedience. Faithfulness with the treasure of obedience. He wants us to be obedient. We hear the word of God. We know the will of God. We go the way of God. We understand the demand of the Lord. And with that understanding, we say, yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord, to your way. Yes, Lord, to your commandment. And we say that with action. We say that with our contribution. We say that with our obedience. Is that faithfulness? that the Lord is expecting, and that faithfulness will be rewarded by him. Malachi chapter 3, we're reading from verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. The people that always think of the glory of his name, of the spread of his name, of the honor of his name. The people that think of how his name will be known in every household. Look at verse 17. Then God said, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. When we bring the treasure, the jewel of obedience to the Lord, he recognizes that, and that faithfulness will not be forgotten by God. How does obedience begin in our lives? In the life of a child to the father, in the life of a daughter to the father. How does obedience begin? Well, you know, like I know, you cannot begin to obey before you are born. You have to be born into the family. And it is that birth into the family that brings obedience. And then after you are born, you now see the benefits of obedience. Every time you do something good, something acceptable, something assigned, something beneficial, and something honored by the father, by the mother, they give you some benefit. And they are showing you that they want obedience, they desire obedience in every child. The same thing God does when we obey God, he grants us the normal benefits we ought to have because we are obedient. And then there are some kinds of benefits that go on and on and on, never ending breakthrough for the obedient. Three things we're looking at. Number one, new birth before obedience. Before you can properly obey God, honestly obey God, faithfully obey God, wholeheartedly obey God, acceptably obey God, there must be the new birth. Number one, new birth before obedience. Number two, normal benefits of obedience. Normal benefits of obedience. Number three, never ending breakthrough for the obedient. Let's come to number one. Number one, new birth before obedience. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, verse 16. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin in your old jungle days, in your old wilderness days, in your old fleshly days. Ye were obedient to sin, servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, but forgiven, but set free, because now, but you are born again, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, made free from sin, born again, turned around, transform, and your life becomes new. If any man be in Christ, born again, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That is the foundation of obedience in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, we have to be children before we can be obedient. Children born from above, born of the Father, children born for love and in love. The Father loves the children. The children love the Father. And it is as a result of that love, being born again, that we now have obedience to the Father. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, as he which has birthed you, that makes you to be born again, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And then in verse 16, it tells us, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You come out of the bowels of the holy God. Because he is holy, the originator of holiness, the father of holiness, then you too, you are holy in obedience. As a parent, as the parents give birth to the children, and the children look like their parents, talk like their parents, behave like their parents, act like their parents, God has given birth to us. The holy God has given birth to the righteous God, has given birth to us. And because he is holy as our Father, he is righteous as our Father, we too now were holy. With you now, we're righteous. Because he's loving, God is love. With you, therefore, we have the love of God in our hearts. It is that nature of God that comes to all his children. And as birds fly without struggle, as fish swim without struggle, so we are holy because of the nature of God in us, obedient because of the nature of God in us, because Christ is our Savior. The obedient spirit in Christ also passes on to us because we are born by the grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be ye holy, for I am holy. James chapter 1, reading from verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What's the result of that? Verse 22. Be ye doers of the word. Born again, be ye doers of the word. Children of God, be ye doers of the word. People having the nature, the holy, righteous, loving nature of God, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's look at number two there, the normal benefits of obedience. The normal benefits of obedience. In Job chapter 36, verse 11. Job 36, reading from verse 11. If they obey and serve him, bring your tithe and offering. If they obey and serve him, give me your heart, my son, my daughter. If they obey and serve him, let your eyes look at my commandments and observe my ways. If you obey and serve him, the Lord has commanded, the way we should walk and the path we should tread. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Those are the normal benefits of obedience. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, but if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Amen. Those who want to eat the good of the land, amen. Those who are going to be obedient and they are going to eat the good of the land, amen. Romans chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 26 first, then I'll come to verse 20. Look at verse 26. But now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. According to the commandment of the everlasting God. The commandment of the everlasting God. He lives forever. He abides forever, and he has given us commandment. And because he lives forever, everlasting, he has not forgotten the relationship that ought to be between the father and the child. You talk to him, pray to him every day. Relationship between the father and the child. You love him every day. You give to him every day. You obey him every day. The relationship between the father and the child. He has done his part, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now you are to respond and you are to reciprocate that now, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith. I obey him because I believe in him. Because I trust him. Because he has given a commandment. And he said, if I do this, if I be obedient, I will eat the good of the land. And because of the faith and the confidence and the trust I have in him, I obey him. Look at the result now in verse 20. In verse 20 it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. As we obey the Lord, as we trust the Lord, as we believe the Lord, as we give honor, reverence, and we give him the respect due unto him, the God of peace, anywhere you go, everywhere you go, shall bruise Satan under your feet. Shortly, shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Look at number three here. Number three here, the never-ending breakthrough for the obedient. Never-ending breakthrough for the obedient. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 16. Genesis 22, verse 16. And said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Amen. Then in verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. As we obey the voice of the Lord through us, the nations of the earth shall be blessed in Jesus' name. Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind in Christ Jesus? An obedient mind. Let that mind be in you. What was the mind in Christ Jesus? A submissive mind. Let that same kind of mind be in you. A loving mind. An attentive mind. A mind that is yielded unto the Heavenly Father. Always remember, like Jesus, the beloved, the begotten Son of God, and you now, the believing son, the believing daughter of God, the same attitude, the same obedience, and the same submission that the beloved Son had to the Heavenly Father, that same obedience, that same submission, and that same action, attitude, the believing son, the believing daughter of God shall have to the Almighty God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of heart? Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it tells us, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, a humble son, a humble daughter, and became obedient unto death. Obedient until death. Obedient until the final breath is taken here on earth, even the death of the cross. Look at the benefit in verse 9. In verse 9, it says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things on earth, of things in heaven, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That is the never-ending breakthrough for the obedient. And I pray that day by day, and week after week, and month after month, and year after year, your sojourn here on earth, you'll be obedient to the Lord every time, and great breakthrough the Lord will grant every one of us in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number 3 now. Point number 3, the fullness of trustworthiness without omission. We're coming to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay the tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now the Pharisees and the scribes, they prided themselves in the fact that we pay our tithes. But the Lord said, that's not enough. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law. They prayed, but the way they prayed, Christ said, that's not enough. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law. They fasted, but Jesus said, your kind of fasting is not enough. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law. They tried to keep the law of Moses, but they kept it only outwardly, externally. They didn't keep the law of Moses, the law of God, with their heart. And Jesus said, that's not enough. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Yes, the Lord wants us to give our offering, our tithe. He wants us to make our contribution, but he does not want us to omit the weightier matters of the law. Three things here. Number one, condemnation for omitting the weightier matters of the law. Number two, commitment to observing the weightier message of love. Number three, compassion while occupied in the weightier ministry toward the lost. Number one, condemnation for meeting the weightier matters of the law. Look at that again in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, and have obeyed the weightier matters, have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What did they omit? Number one, judgment, justice. They were unjust. They called the evil good. They called the good evil. They called the just Christ unjust. They called the unjust the sinners. They called them acceptable. They backed up those who were doing evil, those who were sinning. They supported them. But the people that were doing good, like disciples of Christ, they opposed them. The weightier matters of the law. Judgment. Number two, mercy. They didn't show mercy. They saw that Samaritan lying down there, bleeding to death. And they looked at him. It's a Samaritan, no mercy. And the priest and the Levite passed by. It's not part of us. It's not like us. It's not deeper. He's still wearing jewelry. Look at that one. He's wearing slack. Let him die. Let her die. They omitted mercy. And if we try to invite anyone that is not dressing like clocks and not looking like us, and we invite them so that we can get those who are following them to also attend our meeting, they say, we have employed, they have engaged the services of a Philistine, and those people should not have any mercy. Now, you need to understand, there's no Philistine today, for God loved the whole world. There's no Philistine today. He wants us to go and give the gospel to every creature. There's no Philistine, even the Samaritan, that will say, why are you asking water of me? I am a Samaritan, you're a Jew. There's no discrimination anymore. If you knew the gift of God and he it is that spoke to you, give me to drink, you would have given him drink, and he, even though you are a Samaritan, he will give you the water of life, the living water to drink. And our people today, they are so deep and they are so religious, they don't want us to have anything to deal with those who don't dress like us, who don't think like us, and who don't attend our little deep and life local church. They omit mercy. And they do not extend the hand of mercy to those people outside. They omit the weightier matters of the law. And faith, faith in God. The faith that believes that even a Saul of Tarsus can be converted. They say, stay here. Don't go anywhere. All the Saul there, all the Simon, the leper there, and all those injurious people there, all those children of Abraham that do not know their way back home, leave them. If they are lost, let them be lost. They do not have faith in God. The weightier matters of the law are very important, that we have justice, we have mercy, and we have faith. These ought ye to have done, the tithes and offering, let it go on. God needs your tithe and the offering, and even contribution beyond your tithes and offering. But we must not omit the weightier matters of the law. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 42. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, but woe unto you. Now, you realize Jesus never said, woe unto you, the adulterer. Woe unto you, the fornicator. Woe unto you, the thief. Woe unto you, the sinner. He came to call sinners to repentance. But the people who sat on the judgment seat and they do not want him, want us to evangelize the people who are lost, the people who are in their sins, and they're girding the doctrine without showing love to the sinners outside. He said, woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe meat and rue, and all manner of your fruit, of your herbs, and pass over judgment. And the love of God, the love of God. The people who are earnestly contending for the faith, and they gird the doctrine, and they gird the teaching, and they gird the faith, and they are watchdogs over the doctrine. But let the people perish. All those who use whatever, hang whatever on the neck, palm day, let them perish. Leave them alone. Don't even shake hands with them. Don't say, good morning, how are you? Don't say, I love you with the love of Jesus. Don't say that to them. Remain holy and starchy, and remain holy and overlook all those people. Pass by the love of God. God so loved the world. How will that love get to them without passing through you? God is not going to come from heaven to tell the sinner, I love you. To tell the world, I love you. To tell the people that have gone astray, I love you. He has to come through the believer, through his sons and his daughters here on earth. And God is not going to, you know, transport all those women, all those men that don't dress like us. He's not going to send an angel to uplift them from where they are and plant them in our meeting, either ministers' conference or professional conference, or is going to put them in our midst. No, the love of God will come to us, and then we will stretch out the hand to them. We will prepare a good, you know, bench, a good seat for them. We will announce that Mr. So-and-so is here in our meeting, and we love. It's not only when they become governor that we'll do that to them. Before they are governor, some of them control more people than governors control. And if we bring governors, and we bring the governor's wife, even though she's using jewelry, and we bring her to the seat, and we respect her, and we say, yes, your excellency, you can talk to your people, and they talk to their people, and nobody says anything about that. But if we bring somebody who is not a governor, but is still wearing jewelry or lipstick or whatever, deeper life, pastor has blown everything now, because he's showing love to the people of the world so they can come. But you see, there are people that pay tithes and offering. There are people that dress well, deeper life dressing, but they have omitted the weightier matters of the law, and they have omitted the love of God. Look at that. Woe to you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done. Tithe is good, offering is good, and not to leave the other undone. Let's come to number two here. Number two here, commitment to observing the weightier message of love. The weightier message of love. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, it says, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe meat and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. And pass over judgment and the love of God. Ask yourself, if Christ were here, would he allow again those women, sinful women, to even come near him and to weep, to be weeping and the tears dropping upon his feet and wiping the tears with her hair? Would he allow that? Yes, he would. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if Jesus were here, would he allow a Samaritan woman to drop her pot for him to take water from the well, use the pot of somebody who was just now born again? He had even asked for the water before she was born again. And then to leave the water pot there and to run to the street and to say, come, see a man. Will Jesus allow a woman like she had not changed her dressing? She was still dressing the same way when she met Christ and ran back to the town and said, come see a man. Now, today she will not run to the street. She will go on her Facebook. Today she will go on those social handles and say, I met a man, come. If you are following me, if you love me, if you accept me as she was, come. I've seen a man that changed my life. He'll change your life. Will Jesus accept that today? Yes, he will. Why then do we not have the mind of Christ? Why don't we observe the message of love, the weightier message of love? It says, the Passover judgment and love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. We're looking at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards another. And towards, tell me. Towards, tell me. Towards, tell me aloud. Those men are outside. They are not inside here. They are not born again yet. Those women, they are outside. They are not born again yet. Some of the governors will never come to an assembly of a church. They have their own religion. They have their own church. They have their own assembly. But when we go to hold a crusade in their state, and then we visit them, and we talk to them, I want to talk nice to them. You cannot knock a man on the head and tell him there are potholes on their streets. You can't tell them sometimes there's no water, sometimes there's no light. What are you doing since you got there? What have you done beyond your predecessors? You cannot talk to them like that and bring them. You have to tell them, you have to close your eyes to the negative things you see around. And look, every state has some good, good things you can talk about. And talk about those good things, and they smile, and you smile back at them, and then you say, Your Excellency, I'm expecting you tonight. It's all right to do that to the governor. Why don't I do that to other people and show that love to all men, all women, and get those women, no matter how they look and what they look, and show appreciation to them and show love to them and tell them good things about their life, and then tell them, I've come here to your state and I want you at the crusade, and tell all your people that are on your Facebook, tell them something good and something great is going on in your state. Let them come. And that woman says, my pastor, I will not reply, not your pastor, I won't say that. If she says I'm her pastor, good luck, may God confirm that in Jesus' name. And he says, my pastor, I am coming. I said, I'll be waiting for you. I'll make a good seat for you. And get ready. I'm going to let you talk to the people. That is how to show the love of God. Not only pay tithes and offering, and then omit the weightier message of love. It says, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Somebody say amen. We're looking at number three here. Number three here, compassion. While occupied in the weightier ministry to the lost. The weightier ministry to the lost. We have a ministry. And the ministry we have is not only to the disciples. The ministry we have is towards all the lost. Look at Luke chapter 19. And we're looking at verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek that which was lost. Amen. Let the church say amen. Now, the Lord has given us a ministry, and he calls it the ministry of fishermen. Come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. When we go to catch the fish, we don't say that fish is unclean. Clean it first before you catch that fish. You'll never catch any fish. No fish is going to remain still. Allow you to clean that fish before you catch the fish. You have to catch the fish before you clean the fish. Do you agree with that? But that's the ministry God has given us to do. The people outside are lost. They have lost the way of righteousness, the way of holiness. They're not clean. They themselves know, and we know, and the whole country and the whole continent and the whole world is corrupt. Now, we're not going to catch, we're not going to clean them before we catch them. Now, how do you catch them? They're in the sea of humanity. And you want to throw the bait of love to them. They are lost, but they don't know. You're not calling them names. You're not saying you are lost, you are sinful, and you are going to perish. You are not saying that. You catch them with love. It's after catching them and you bring them into the house of God. Then in the follow-up, in discipleship, we now begin to clean them up. Now, what we're doing here now, this is inside the house of God. Once we go out there and we say we're doing a crusade, the global crusade, that is seeking the lost. That is going out and catching the fish. We may call it ministers' conference. We may call it professionals' conference. We may call it youth impact. Youth impact is not an in-house program. It's an outside program. Yes, our own youth will be there, and the other youth will be there. And if we want to include women's conference, the women's conference is not an inside program where we have, you know, the women fellowship and the women discipleship. We're not going to talk about that. Women's program, it's an outside program, and we're showing the love of God to them. And we're not going to make those women we invite see any difference and say, okay, this is deeper life, we've got to comport ourselves. We're not going to let them pretend or be hypocritical. If we have any women conference at all, we get them from everywhere and we say, come, we're having a program. This is for all. We're showing that love of God to everyone, and we're there to seek and to save the lost. And you might, if we do it, I don't know whether we're going to do it or not, but if we do it, you'll see them in colorful dresses. Some will wear slacks, some will wear whatever, and all that. That's okay, because it's not our own internal church program. We're seeking the lost. Would that be all right? I can't hear you. Will that be all right? Or do we penalize them because you use jewelry, because you are painted? What we have, the gospel we have, will never get to you. Go and listen to other people. If you are saved, good luck. If what they say will not save you, we don't care. If you cannot clean up and be smart like we are, and dressed like we are, and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse something, and this and that, if you don't do that, we'll close the door again. Don't come. Should we do it like that? We need to reach everybody. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as we preach to them, they will see love. They will not see condemnation. They will see acceptance. They will not see rejection. And we will give our seat for them. We'll give our place to them. And some of us who are here, who can preach fervently and in a fiery manner, will say, suspend your fiery preaching. Let's get this person from outside to talk to the people and give him and give her a sense of belonging, and look away from, you know, however they dress or whatever. And when we do that, they'll be so happy, and they'll bring out their people, all their people. They bring them to listen to us, and then more souls will get to the kingdom of God, and God will reward you, and God will reward deeper life. Because now we're willing to sit down and allow them to take our pulpit and talk to the rest of the world. And through that, we'll be able to reach the lost, will be occupied in the ministry of the Lord. That's the weightier ministry. It's good that we pay tithes and offering, but the Lord is saying, if we'll meet the weightier matters and the weightier ministry to the lost, what have we done? Look at verse 13 there. In verse 13, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Will you? I said, will you? I pray the Lord will grant us more love, larger hearts, accommodating mind, to accommodate other people, to that they will hear what we have been hearing. And as you give them chance to come, the Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. The Lord multiply you. And the Lord make his work to prosper in our hands together, in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Take all that to the Lord in prayer. Lord, enlarge my heart. Lord, increase my love. Lord, help me that as I pay tithes and offering, I will do more. I will reach out to the people who are outside lovingly, wholeheartedly.
It is time for us to